Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1083. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, it's been a heck of a day here in the DeFrango household, but it's not going to deter us from recording a podcast about professional wrestling. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's just start from the beginning, as we can do from time to time. SmackDown, John Cena, the man is in full babyface mode. At this point, there is no holding back the John Cena love from the crowd. This seems like the right call here. Just going this direction. I mean, I
Yeah,
know
it
that we kind of
just.
questioned it a little bit just because of the timing before the Cody match, but
It feels like and I know some people are dancing around it, talking about it. I know Paul Heyman did in the last week say the heel turn wasn't a mistake. It still wasn't a mistake. It was a mistake. We could have had 6 months of this.
oh my.
And they muddied the waters, and it really just this crowd reaction in Montreal just really just painted the picture that what were we even trying to do? What were they even trying to do? I wasn't trying to do nothing. I mean, yes, we were all
Yes,
impressed
we were all just
and
watching.
shocked, impressed and shocked and everything, but. By the actual event itself, but then the follow-up just never lived up to anything. It couldn't. You could tell deep down it wasn't as in Cena's heart at that point. Maybe at another point in his career it would have been. It
Yeah, from the
wasn't in the
jump,
fans' hearts. It just nothing. There it just
yeah.
it felt like we had a yeah we got the Orton and Punk matches out of it. We got some fun comedy with R-Truth.
Uh-oh.
But at the end, it feels like we just kind of had this soulless 4 or 5 months, and it really, I mean, it never affected business, but I
Uh-oh.
think the overall vibe was really hurt by it compared to what it all could have been in every city.
Yeah, it keeps on helping that is odd as it is. AEW had a great template set out for Sting going out the door.
Yeah, they did.
And this template, like, even if you wanted to do the heel turn, I feel like there's a better way to end up coming to the result that they did. Rather than, like, we've discussed last week, whereas just like, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, whereas basically out of the blue, John Cena's like, oh yeah, I'm a baby face, by the way, guys. Like, we're not fucking up my last 12 dates after this one.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, yeah, that is fair. That is fair. So yeah, and like you said, Montreal, it was just they went bonkers. Like there's I guess we both talked about it. Like it never seemed like the right play from the get-go. Like you said, it was a shocking moment. Will it'll always be remembered. But yeah, like you said, if there's mediocre storytelling then 4 months after that,
Yeah.
was it really worth it?
No. No, it just was. And maybe but again, The Rock wasn't even if he stayed around through WrestleMania, he wasn't staying around through Backlash. Still, Cena still would have had to be on his own, and the whole It just none of it rang true because Cena keeps talking about how, again, if I know the idea was after he lost to The Rock the first time, he was going before the idea, before whatever happened to change everything, which is usually just Vince McMahon changing his mind. He was gonna do it. That's been said. He was going to do it in 2012, and that may have been the best time to do it. You know, he went into
Oh.
Miami, got booed out of the bill, got booed out of the stadium. He lost. You know that's like perfect motivation there, because we're at the height of Cena hate, and you know we're all online at that time, and you know various whatever was a message board or Facebook groups or whatever, when you with people who the vehement Cena haters, and it really was like it was at its peak at that point for him to lash out in anger over it, and that but now after he's been treated as a hero for most of the last 10 years, in his sporadic comebacks, it made no sense.
Like you said, like there were definitely better times for them to do this, and they didn't pull the trigger then, and they should have.
Yeah, well,
You know,
there was
well,
like
I
there
don't
still
know
was a
if,
period.
well,
Again, you could have done it. I mean, obviously
yeah,
everything
maybe
worked out
that's
fine.
more.
You could have done it, and it could have worked. But yeah, at the end of the day, it changed nothing, because within 2 or 3 years he was going to go to part time status anyway. So it ended up kind of whatever there.
You could have wrote out that time period with him being a heel, but
Oh
then
yeah.
again, still, like, I don't know why you want to send anyone off as a heel in a lot of ways.
No, yeah. When I said it last week, it's just you keep pounding. They also wanted their cake, and they wanted to eat it too. They wanted to pound home that this is the last time you'll ever see John Cena, and we're gonna have thousands upon thousands of custom, shirts made for this city that we still want you to buy, and John Cena's still gonna wear to the ring himself because he wants you to buy them, but he hates you, and you should hate him.
It was one of those things where I'm like, I've seen the movies that he's in. John Cena's a good actor,
Yes.
you know. Am I ready to give him an Emmy or anything like that? Probably not, but whatever. Like you said, like he never completely felt in on it,
No.
especially when he was doing the heel promos. Like there was something that was definitely lost in translation with that, where he never really felt like he was fully into it. So yeah, it's Yeah, anyway, good guy John Cena ends up quick turnaround here. Now fast friends with Cody Rhodes.
Yes, all of this has been a very quick turnaround for dating back to the previous week. Yes, but I mean, Cena did well. Cena started by calling out Brock, but in his language, it was becoming clear that Brock's not yet. So someone else was entering, and out comes Logan Paul. A match that when Cena was, started the year as a babyface, you figured they'd do it at some point. It felt like something natural to do. So they're gonna do it at Clash in Paris. Brock apparently it waits for a not yet announced but heavily rumored September PLE that it's just gonna happen to be on the exact same night as AEW All Out.
Oh my gosh.
This
Is this
happens.
gonna get them out of
Coincidental.
their Peacock contract even sooner? Is this why they're doing this?
I don't know. Once again, that was a weird one too. That says that after Survivor Series, they're gonna be done, but now they can still keep adding shows to Peacock. I'm not totally convinced on that one now, whether that's true or not. I guess we'll see. Well, I
Yeah.
mean, we'll see how they where they advertise how you can watch the Royal Rumble, I guess.
Yeah, that feels like that's going to be at the latest. We will find out for the Rumble.
Right. So, but before we apparently get to this unnamed, not officially announced, but expected PLE, we got Clash in Paris at the end of this month. At the very, very end of this month, Sunday the 31st in the afternoon, not a Saturday, a standalone Sunday PLE for the first time in probably 2 or 3 years at least.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. Where it's just been they've really moved to the all Saturday model
Well, I mean, I guess to
for the
have the
most
same
part.
building in Paris for 2 straight nights is better and maybe easier to work than having it on a Saturday. Everyone stays in Paris for a day on Sunday. The building sits there, and then they're still doing Raw from that same building. So that probably has more to do
Oh.
with it.
Yeah, that would make some logistical sense.
Yeah. TKO very good with the logistics. But we are getting John Cena versus Logan Paul on that show. But before we got there, we got Drew McIntyre jumping John Cena, and then the McIntyre Paul double team on Cena, leading to the two Cody Rhodes making the save and the challenge for the tag team match later that night. And of course, the people went crazy for that because while a John Cena appearance was advertised the entire time, a John Cena match was not.
Yeah, gotta be happy. He is not a made that many appearances anyway. But when you get an appearance and a match out of the same evening, I feel like you took home a W with that ticket.
Yes, you did.
And I wouldn't be surprised either. Like if they decide to fit it in. Drew McIntyre could be an opponent for Mr. Cena along the
Oh
way
yes,
here.
he definitely could.
So, 'cause what we figured 3 PLEs for Cena before he's out the door.
Well, now it's going to be four.
Four. Well,
Supposedly.
yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's
So,
see.
good.
What,
Yeah.
what, what, what? Wait, 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 wait. It's three, four PLEs, and then the last match is now expected to be a serious main event in December.
Oh. Yeah, they've really put some big matches on Saturday night's main event here.
Yeah. I imagine because it's John Cena. And they care about John Cena, and they never really did care about Goldberg. They're going to be much better with their time management here in terms of giving John Cena his fond farewell.
I would be shocked if something goes wrong and John Cena's involved.
Yeah.
Plus I feel like though Goldberg has done it feels like half decent post wrestling, John Cena in a much better bargaining position
Yeah,
than Goldberg ever will be.
the people at NBC will understand how big of a deal John Cena's last match is, more than Goldberg's, I imagine.
Oh man, yeah. So that part, yeah. I feel like they can hype the shit out of that, and it'll be pretty good. So yeah, I mean that segment chewed up a lot of SmackDown.
Yeah.
But the first matchup, Motor City Machine Guns against Tala Tonga and JC Mateo, the MFTs getting a much needed victory here. Yeah,
Yeah.
the Machine Guns continue their tumble down the old
Yeah.
ranks
Yeah. Yeah. I
after
mean,
getting the
we. This
championship run.
whole tag team kerfluffle on SmackDown has obviously hit its peak. It's weird because it essentially involves five teams kind of being pushed out of the contendership spot. So maybe Talatonga and JC Bateo will get in contention for the tag team championships, which could also then lead to the entirety of Solo and the MFTs and ending up in a feud with the Wyatt Six.
Yeah, I mean, they're the only group that at least comes close to matching numbers with the Wyatt Six.
Well, not counting Nikki Cross, it is 4-on-4.
Oh, why did I think there was? Oh, yeah. I think I might have errantly been counting the always rumored Alexa Bliss, who is not going to happen now, and
Yeah.
thinking it was five. So yeah, I mean that definitely works. Yeah, these groups that need tag teams that actually wrestle tag team matches sometimes. So I feel like this is a good spot for Talatanga and JC Mateo here to chew up some scenery and get something done for the group. So, yeah, I'm not sure if Mr. Mateo is gonna quite get the New Japan treatment here.
Yeah, no, not I don't think so either. And this match directly led into the next match as Solo Sikoa got on the microphone, made mention to saying that he was gonna compete in a match. He would compete in a match if he had an opponent, but he doesn't. Which then led to Nick Aldis finding an opponent for him, who is Montreal's own Sami Zayn.
Yeah, and the people went bananas for the close to hometown boy to make an appearance on SmackDown here.
They did, and he would go on to win a heretofore not mentioned non-title match.
Yeah, I did get a good chuckle that both of us were of the same mindset, and I'm just like, oh, I thought we were gonna have a new U.S. champion, and then all of a sudden it was just like, nope, just a Sami Zayn win. I'm like, oh, okay. That did feel really strange when I found out it was a non-title match. And honestly, don't know, like, is that kind of championship the Sami Zayn ceiling?
It might be. Again, I don't see the path to Sami Zayn being a world champion. It just doesn't feel like it can happen. But stranger things have happened, so who knows?
Yeah. So that's I guess
And
we'll find out in the future if that happens. But yeah.
no Jacob Fatu in sight. Yeah,
Oh.
this. If the idea is Jacob Fatu needs to go away for a while so they can find something else for him to do away from Solo when he returns. Yeah, this. They gotta. I mentioned before, they gotta be careful how they book that guy. Yeah,
Oh.
even if it was a cage match, door escape, still try. Giving him that second loss, it was just not a good move at all. And you could argue that the first loss wasn't a good move because it's not like Solo's, setting the world on fire here with his title defenses.
Yeah, like I like the promos that he's cutting. His matches are, just okay. So it's Yeah, the US championship's in a weird spot. I don't feel
Yeah, it
like
is.
the Intercontinental championship is doing fairly well for itself.
Oh yes, it did well.
So
Well, they've got a great champion over there. We'll get to that.
Yep. I don't. Yeah. Nothing more to talk about. There's the Wyatt Six video. It was what it was. Good gravy. Worth noting. Candice LeRae in a backstage segment, showing off the bruise from the bump, at the TLC match at SummerSlam, and honestly, I was surprised it didn't w look worse.
Yeah.
Like, not that it didn't look nasty, but I was almost surprised it didn't look worse. Oh my gosh, that was something, because that just kind of seemed like well, yeah, I guess we just got a Street Profits versus DIY match to figure out who's taking on the Wyatt Six next.
Oh, God. I mean, they've done this to
Yeah.
themselves by having the same teams just wrestle each other over and over and over again, and then of course have the whole thing peak at SummerSlam. There's just nowhere else for them to go.
Yeah, there is no sexy matchup. Like, and I think you and I have been talking about it for a while. Like, SmackDown now has had a handful of established teams for a while now, but because they have wrestled each other multiple times in all kinds of shapes and sizes, it's just like you just kind of glaze over with it. Like, and no one's really distinct from the other people in a lot of ways.
No. The original TLC matches made stars. This has not. Unless Montez Ford can finally break out on his own. But that's doesn't again, still doesn't feel like it's happening anytime soon.
Oh yeah, that really seems wild too. Like, the days of split up the Street Profits has died. Like, there's the nothing really to that at this point. So, like, I almost feel like you need to rebuild him, because that whole team needs rebuilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that did happen. Speaking of tag teams, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss. It was Alexa Bliss's birthday, evidently. And in unsurprising news, we got a very entertaining segment out of this cake and these ladies, also involving Chelsea Green.
Yes.
That happened, and then that also led to its own match. Charlotte Flair takes on Chelsea Green. No surprise here. Charlotte Flair dispatches of Miss Green, even in her home country.
Yes, you in her home country. And, well, there was cake. So, what happens in wrestling when there's cake? Someone gets their face shoved in it. And that someone, of course, was Chelsea Green.
Yep, nothing like taking an unprettier or oh no. Well, because it really wasn't
No, I think it was an unprettier. I think no, I think it was the no, I think it was the reversal. into the
Oh,
Imperator.
okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, she just reversed it into the same move. Yeah, I'm always up for the old Kate gimmick. Hey, you brought it out there for a reason. Use it. So, yep. Fun stuff to help fill some time. I would not be surprised if there is some type of match between Alba and Piper and those two sometime in the near future.
I imagine there certainly needs to be, considering the lack of depth of the women's tag team division.
Oh, yep. Yeah. It does not have a similar problem as the men's does. It has the opposite. There is just not a whole lot going on there at any time, quite frankly. And then wasn't too much of a surprise in the main event here. Even though we got a John Cena match, there was no true ending to it. Because of a low blow by Logan Paul on Mr. Cena.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think Cena was more active maybe than many people thought. I guess I think a lot of people would have thought, including that this match was never really even gonna get started before shenanigans. But no, I mean Cena came in, he played the hits. Yeah, he got hit, took one of the balls and right in front of the referee when one of those rare times a nut shot takes place right in front of the referee who calls for a disqualification. Yes, he's actually supposed to.
It is definitely one of those things. It felt like it was a more common thing at some juncture, but almost all the time now, if people have to hide the old low blow. Not that it didn't happen before, but I feel like this was more of a regular DQ in the past.
Yep. So then Logan Paul and John Cena make their way to the back, leaving us with Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre, ending with Drew McIntyre getting the edge over Cody Rhodes, and then claymoring him th through the bottom of the announce table. I think that's
Oh.
a pretty unique spot at least.
Yeah, that was the more solid desk has allowed for some more interesting spots.
Yeah.
Because Braun Breaker has taken advantage of it with his clothesline there. And Drew McIntyre definitely took advantage of it. It looked kind of interesting, you know. It definitely looked like there wasn't a lot of give. There are so many times now, especially I feel like they've done that barricade spot a lot where
Oh, they've
someone
hit.
knocks over that piece right near the ring bell and announcer, ring announcer. Like it kind of gave it a different flavor, which was nice too. Just because, I mean, all beatdowns can get a little bit boring, and this one at least had a little bit of spice to it.
Yeah. And we are left with it. I think as expected, Drew McIntyre as the next opponent for Cody Rhodes. It's the first, yeah, the first challenger in this reign, and a match they've done before, but not on a major show, I would say. I think they did it maybe one or two matches on TV in the last couple of years, and then it's basically been, they've largely kept away from each other. So no, again, a strong WWE Championship match for Clash in Paris.
Yep. So that ended SmackDown, beginning of Raw. CM Punk gets to come out because we are still north of the border. People still freaking out a little bit here in Quebec City. But it was a little bit weird that the exchange between him and LA Knight did not seem to go well, in my estimation.
No, there was a definite noticeable lack of chemistry between these two. Like that, these are just characters that just aren't going to mix well. Yeah, maybe it's got something to do with how deep pushed LA Knight's been up until this point for a while now. And then,
That
go
is
ahead.
not helping at all.
No. It seems very his involvement in this whole thing, dating back to Money in the Bank and that Saturday night's that fateful Saturday night's main event with the fake injury and everything. It's just he feels like a weird choice to put to have had in this role. Also because he's also a SmackDown guy and there's no explanation why he's always on Raw. And it just again, it just you just two guys just don't have good chemistry. I mean, it's just that it. It's just from a character point of view, yeah. Maybe you could say Punk's too serious. LA Knight still relies too much on catchphrases. It's just they're very much oil and water.
It was definitely something that it definitely seemed off the whole time, and but their exchange did end up leading us to the main event for the evening in a long way, because we got Paul Heyman coming out with the Shumafala himself, Bronson Reed, and Bron Breakker here. The Bron Brons already have a name that is not just for podcasts anymore. It is on TV.
Yep, and then yep, the challenge was laid out by Paul Heyman. Some reluctance on CM Punk and LA Knight's part, particularly LA Knight, but they accept. And then Bron Breakker completely challenged ch channels his Uncle Scott by pointing out how old his two opponents are. I think he actually underestimated LA Knight's age by just calling him 40. Actually, let's check that real quick.
I was like, oh man, did not have the usual Wikipedia pulled up to ask
No,
for
he's 42. At least he's older than I am. So half the Raw main event's older than me. At the very least.
yep, still an old crowd there.
Yeah.
Still an old crowd there. So, yeah, that is kind of wild and kind of funny. I mean, what's his name? Isn't that much older, younger either. I feel like Bronson Reed, I feel like, is kind of on the old side here.
Well, let's check that out. I know as much about him.
Oh,
He's
88.
36.
Yeah, 36. So
Yeah.
definitely got the he's got a decade on Mr. Breaker at least there.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty funny thing to go ahead and throw in there for anyone that can catch the references there. Evidently, we find out that Dominic Mysterio, smartest man in the room, just using everyone, including at least the Ludwig Kaiser version of El Grande Americano here.
I feel like this Kaiser El Grande Americano thing combined with one, two other El Grande Americanos not really working well anymore. It definitely loses its charm without Chad Gable.
It was okay when they had one, and in a lot of ways I'm okay with three, but when you start just basically having only one again, it gets a little bit weird.
The whole thing was very weird. I mean, obviously the match he was in with Dominic against Rey Fénix and AJ Styles was completely meant to push, AAA this weekend. And it did what it was supposed to do. There were some big spots in there. I'm sure, that four way is gonna, I'm sure it's gonna be a very good match. I'll check it out when I have time.
Oh, yeah, helps that it's on YouTube. Really helps out. So, yeah, like you said, like it served its purpose. Yeah, I'm not sure that I will necessarily watch that live. But yeah, I should be able to catch that too at some juncture. Sami Zayn kept himself busy this week here. Because not only did he have a match on SmackDown, he also has one on Raw, and he had a little segment with Sheamus before said match here.
Just your basic, hey man, don't interfere in my match. And well, Sheamus kept his word.
Yep.
And we got Rusev versus Sami Zayn. Perfectly acceptable match until the solo MFT interference. They beat down Sami Zayn. Then, just like Sheamus promised, as soon as the match is over, he went after Rusev, they brawled again. And yeah, that's pretty much about it. Not too much more to say there. Yeah, Adam Pearce was, kicking Solo and the MFTs out of the building, then getting the report that Sheamus and Rusev had been separated, and then I don't remember what happened after that. Who was Pierce interrupted by in that backstage segment?
Oh gosh, like
Was
everyone,
that the
it
new
felt
was that the one
like
with the New Day
Grayson
and Grayson
Waller.
Waller?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a very frustrating night for one Mr. Pierce.
Yeah, he always seems to be yelling and screaming at this point. In between that matchup here, we got a little bit of ominous music here, things to come. Io Sky not getting along with her former stablemates in Damage Control here, and Asuka and Kairi, or at least she's definitely not getting along with Asuka at this time.
No. There's trouble brewing there. And then she
So,
got,
yeah,
which then, which,
they need to keep her away from the championship at some point, so I'm not surprised
yeah.
that this is happening.
And then, you have, well, this was Well, this is after. Was the EO Roxanne match next? Or something? What was next?
Let's see, was it after the yes, that was the next matchup. So
Yes,
yeah, they
and
had back-to-back segments, then back-to-back matches.
yeah, then EO ends up in a match with Roxanne. After we have not mentioned yet, Naomi not medically cleared to compete that night. No additional information about that, but the originally scheduled Io Sky Championship Challenge was replaced by a Io Sky Roxanne Perez match that Io Sky would go on and lose after interference by Asuka and Kairi would backfire and lead to a roll up and hook of the tights by Roxanne. Yeah, as you said, kind of knocking Io down a peg on a night where she was supposed to get her one-on-one championship rematch that she is probably not going to get now.
Yeah, it was a really strange situation to have, even with the interference, to have her lose. In this whole situation.
Well, she was. Well, she was. Well, she wasn't going to win the
Oh
championship
no.
match.
No, she
And
was definitely not going to win the championship match.
I
But
imagine there was the I imagine the finish was pretty much the same. They just replaced Naomi with Roxanne.
yeah, which is not completely surprised by the choice. It feels like they're gonna set up some type of friction with Roxanne and the eventual return of Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
We still don't completely know when that's gonna happen.
No, we don't know when that's going to happen, and we're obviously setting up friction between Io and Asuka and Kairi, and the parade of people confronting Io, including Stephanie Vaquer, just saying she's got next, and then Rhea Ripley apparently only coming to work to talk to Io Sky.
Oh man, yeah. Rhea still if she's only coming to talk to Io every week, it seems like the fans are happy enough about that. Also I about fell over laughing. Just mopey Io Sky, like she had had too, just too many problems that day. And she really just didn't need Rhea to pile on after that.
No, understandable.
Was, yeah, her just walking away mumbling in Japanese really got a good laugh out of me. Like, it's just like, yeah, it just kind of feels like one of those days. So that happened. Becky Lynch versus Maxine Dupri, fourth matchup. Unsurprising news here. Becky Lynch, for the most part, wins this one in short order, with Maxine definitely showing off that she has improved in the ring here.
Yeah, Maxine is she's in a tough spot because everyone knows she was brought up way too soon for her looks, and people's first impressions of someone like that can, stick around for a very long time. So no matter how much she improves, I'm not sure how high her ceiling is.
Yeah, it's a really tough road that she has. I don't know what's real solution there is.
Yeah.
Like,
And
it just feels like so many of the, even just if you think about the NXT women that
yeah.
could jump in front of her extremely
Oh,
quickly,
yeah.
like she is really fighting a losing battle.
Yeah, it really is. And the other women are not doing her favors by, like, you could tell in their, like, their Instagram stories or what have you, if you follow any of them. Like, it's like just trying to pat her on the head and be like, oh, good job, good job. Like, that's so patronizing. It's not helping. You did three moves correctly and you didn't fall flat on your face. That's great.
Yeah, not I guess I did. If that happened after this match.
Yeah, like there were a couple. I mean, I know like Nikki Bella did, a few other women did, just wow, Maxine did such a great job. We're so proud of her. Like, oh, that's not helping. Being that patronizing is not helping.
No, I didn't know that was out there for this match in particular. Like, I mean, I guess it was. I mean, they did note that it was their first single championship match. And honestly, I can't recall a whole lot of. I feel like she's had at least a couple of singles matches just
I
because
feel
she
like
keeps on.
they fed her to Rhea Ripley at one point while Rhea was still a heel, and
Yeah.
there may have been one. There may have been one other. I don't totally
Yeah.
remember. It's whatever. Again, it's a Maxine Dupri match. I'm not going to remember it from a year or two ago. I'm not going to remember it.
and that's it's definitely been few and far between for these things. So that does not help her out at all either. Frequency, she's one that would probably benefit from going to NXT and getting traded, quote unquote, to TNA. And just because she's on, it kind of feels like it's still mostly a one-way street here, where it's just NXT stars going over to TNA. It is not main roster stars for the most part going over. I feel like the second
No,
I
it's definitely not.
say something definitive, there someone will pull out some factoid that I forgot
Well, I
about.
mean, I think it isn't Natalya challenging Masha Slamovich or whatever on the next TNA pay-per-view
Oh,
or something.
yeah.
That's
Well, and I was also
Natalya.
thinking
Natalya's working
that,
Bloodsport, for God's sake, so
yeah,
it's whatever. She's just doing she's in her travel era.
Yeah, she is definitely in the appreciated in other places other than the WWE more at this point era. Speaking about different eras, it does seem like we may officially here be getting a new era of Bayley after her video promo.
Yeah, this was interesting. It was kind of a mix of storyline and maybe some real life issues there. Yeah, the idea that Bailey has, and now this is probably a more behind the scenes thing. Bailey has, more been that role model for the other women, particularly in NXT, and I made this point myself, seems to be more concerned with that than her own career. So they're trying to mix some of that in with this. The problem is, for the majority of the last, four, 6 years on screen, she was a heel. And she was more successful when she was a heel.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this one before too, where the vast majority of her main roster experiences is the heel.
At this point, yes. Maybe not. Maybe it's close, probably be closer to 50-50. But yeah, it's been. Of what people not are now really remembering, it's been as a heel. Yeah, it her her, her I mean her her Certainly, as a character, she's been through the ringer this year. There's this last year. There's not, I mean, can't even say just in 2025. Well, ever since she lost the women's championship at last year's SummerSlam, it doesn't feel like anything good's happened to her, really.
And on even that championship run
No, it
was
was
kind
nothing.
of meh.
It was very meh. It was a very meh run. Yeah, it's. Number of factors at play, the time she spent as a heel, she never really did a full turn herself, and made the thing she did, the bad thing she did right, and just a blah run. Her terrible entrance music definitely plays a part in people not really reacting strongly to her, and then just. She, again, her as a baby face, she's not the hugger anymore, but she's the role model, which was always supposed to be facetious, but now we're supposed to believe she's actually supposed to be a role model.
And it honestly goes back to the whole she never turned, and
Yeah, she never
it
turned.
still feels weird. Like it's been what, like a year and a half or so since she got kicked out of Damage
Yeah,
Control.
she got
Like
kicked out
it's
of
been
Damage
an
Control.
extended period of
I mean,
time
they
at
did a
this
good
point.
job with particularly Bianca not forgiving her at first,
Oh,
and
yeah.
they did do something with that, but it's still it just it, everything's got rings so hollow. And now we but again we got a mix kind of like the real life reputation of Pam that she's too unselfish in reality. But it doesn't jive with what we've seen on screen for most of the last 5 years, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, that I didn't think about that aspect, but that's definitely something that should be on most people's minds. That yeah, it does not portray how she's been portrayed on TV for the most part.
Right. No, n not everyone follows her on Instagram. I mean, not everyone follows you on Instagram is the new, not everyone watches NXT or not everyone watches TNA or the Independents or whatever.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it's true. I mean, I feel like we talked to Jeremy and I talk about it more in context to AEW, who would bring storylines from online to TV without saying anything about it, basically, and just expecting us to know it cold.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a. And that's why I'm, at least I was already a little bit concerned. I'm like, obviously she needs a change. But yeah, I don't know. I know the blending of real life and storyline has been good sometimes.
I mean, did you ever watch when she was on Steve Austin's network show? This is like
Don't.
5 years ago now or something. It's been a while, but I mean, it was brought up there the idea that she's too unselfish and she cares too much about the next generation of women and all that. But which again, we're trying to bring that in your her saying that she takes being the role model seriously when again it was just supposed to be a facetious thing that a heel would say. Yeah, it's kind of a messy betrayal right now, and we'll see where it goes. Because again,
Yeah.
it's an interesting direction to take that in terms of basically having a wrestler go through depression, essentially.
Yeah, and I even got a little bit of interesting vibes out of the following promo, which was Jackie Redmond interviewing Lyra and Lyra just having to grapple with the fact that she may have set off a psychotic break in Bailey.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, she's just like, oh my God, did I really do that to her? Like, it was so funny. to kind of see her range of emotions in there in that segment of going, oh my gosh, did I really do this to this woman? Did I send her off the edge by saying what I said last week? That was kind of interesting to have that as the follow-up there. And definitely a weird spot. I guess I was expecting some type of singles feud from them anyway. So I wasn't completely surprised that that she was involved. But it's definitely taken a stranger turn than I would have expected.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrestler depression is not something that that I was expecting to have happen there. Main event here, sir, CM Punk and LA Knight taking on the Braun Bronze here in our main event. We're really not getting a whole lot of finishes in these main events.
No, we're not, and it's becoming, in some ways, since April, it's been a lot of the same in these Seth Rollins involved segments. In terms of the beatdowns, I mean they're doing the same moves over and over again in these beatdowns. Yeah, we really probably didn't need this. We especially now we didn't need this 2 weeks in a row.
It's kind of interesting. They do a pretty good job of hyping the tsunami. They're also getting to the point, though, where the effectiveness it just almost has to wear off, or else half of your roster is gonna not be on TV every week.
Yeah, there's definitely something to that as well.
So, I don't think it's hit a bad saturation point at this juncture, but it is still kind of a weird situation that they find themselves in that department.
But it was all culminated in Adam Pearce announcing that Seth Rollins will defend his championship at Clash appearance in a fatal four-way against Seth CM Punk, LA Knight, and Jey Uso. So Seth Rollins, you think, now has insurmountable odds to overcome, which he will, by the way.
Yes, he will surmount the odds. That is for sure. Is what will happen there.
And if I have to guess, Bronson Reed might be getting the biggest singles match of his career if he ends up facing Roman Reigns on that show.
Yeah, you can't have him carrying around the Shumafala and not at least have one match between him and Roman Reigns.
I mean, if the idea is before Roman gets his own championship match with Seth, he ends up having to have singles matches with both of Bron Bron. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I would not be was not going to be surprised if that was the case. I mean, that's why they're there, right? So that was main event of Raw there. Chris, did you watch any of Collision, AEW Collision?
No, I did not. And after what you mentioned about it, I'm glad I didn't.
Yes, Paul Walter Hauser, terrible commentator. Because
Yeah.
A, I did get a laugh. He's like, oh, it's so great of AEW to come to these small towns. And they were in Roanoke, Virginia. Did not check the population of Roanoke. Still a somewhat major city.
Yeah, it's a Yeah, it is a old as they would call it, part of Flair country.
Oh.
Many wrestling events held in Roanoke, Virginia over the last probably 100 years. Though would not expect one of the ho a member of the Hollywood elite to have any knowledge of that. Or respect for that.
Yeah, well, and it's also one of those things where the WWE had their event in Quebec City, not the largest of Canadian cities, I would say.
No.
And they've also had live events just even within the orbit of Ohio. Despite the fact that I joked about it when Vince did it, they still had a show in Toledo, Ohio, which again, not one of the real big cities in the state of Ohio, and Dayton, also on the larger side, but still not the biggest size. And it was just one of those things where I was just like, dude, the WWE goes to small venues too. Like, I don't just zip it. I really did not like him as an announcer in any way, shape, or form.
At least you weren't watching MLW where they put him in the ring.
Yeah, I definitely don't need to see that happen.
Oh.
He was completely fine in the Cobra Kai as a character.
Yeah.
Do not like the character that is being played on. Well, it seems so shilly for AEW. Even Tony Schiavone isn't that shilly for AEW. Like
Yeah.
it was almost a gross level of shilly. So do not seek that episode out if you have not watched already. Just save your ears some hassle, because that wasn't the only the city thing wasn't the only it wasn't the only thing. It just I just didn't think he added anything. Like, it's one of those things where they just throw people into commentary all the time. Like
Yeah.
the newly re-signed Matt Menard, because
Oh, he
reasons.
annoys me on commentary. He's way too yelly for me, and it doesn't work.
Yep.
But then again, I'm
So.
not one of the people who when him and Angelo Parker were in NXT thinking that they were the funniest thing in the world either. I didn't get them then.
I did enjoy the act, and I even enjoyed when it came over to AEW.
I thought it was better in AEW when, of course, they're stoogey heels. But then, when Garcia turned face, he turned face too. I barely see Parker anymore, but and it's just his act doesn't work when he's trying to play face. That's for sure.
That just makes it more awkward because he is a baby face announcer. It's doesn't help him, doesn't help Daniel Garcia, who needs all the help he can get.
Yeah, that's just a dead issue at this point. There's just nothing you can do with him at this point anymore. He they I don't even know if the ceiling was that high to begin with for a guy who's a good worker but not Mr. Charisma at all, and a good worker in a company where there are so many people better workers than him. To, but yeah, by beating him like a drum over and over again, they killed him, and
Oh
there's nothing.
yeah, he re-signed that contract, and he's pretty much been dead on arrival he's dead on arrival for the rest of
Then
that contract.
again, his good friend and the person he would have followed out the door, Mr. Ricky Saints slash Starks. Not exactly being all that impressive in NXT. I gotta be honest. You can make a little NXT talk in here.
He definitely hasn't gotten the push that other people have coming over. I mean, even
No,
if you
and
compare him to Blake Monroe, things haven't gone badly, but at this point, it's kind of weird that he hasn't gotten called up in a lot of ways. Like, why did you have him lose the championship if he's going to just stick around and reinvent his character again?
yeah, I don't really. Yeah, I don't totally understand that. Yeah. And
Yeah,
speaking of things I don't
I'm
totally
really
understand,
confused.
and speaking of things I don't fully understand, Karrion Kross and his increasing popularity. But increasing popularity apparently falling on deaf ears of WWE executives as him and Scarlett Bordeaux's contracts went to the 11th hour without a serious offer, if you're to believe his last words he's spoken on the subject. And on paper, him and Scarlett are free agents now. But after R-Truth, who knows what's going on? I just can't perpetuate this idea that he's ever going to be anything. It boggles the mind that he's getting this underground, guerrilla can't campaign support. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, this used to be reserved for the guys who were like the best workers who weren't getting the push because of, the office not seeing that in them. This is a guy who can talk a good game, but it all goes away as soon as the bell rings. And that's never going to change. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I mean there's not I think the nothing special is kind of the big part. It's
Yeah.
not he hasn't ever been terrible to me, like in the ring. That doesn't cut it though. You know, to just be okay. And for what it's been kind of wild. It was interesting when I feel like someone had the graphic about how many people Vince fired, Triple H rehired, and then he let them go or, you know, released them again. And yeah, this Karrion Kross is on that list where you really thought that once Triple H took over, that was going to be it. He was going to get his real push, and it never happened.
No, it never happened, and it just wasn't going to. I mean, yes, he's developed as a talker. Growing out his hair was a good decision for him in
No.
that way as well. It really is just an in another era, he could have been something, without a doubt. But in an era where What ha the work in the ring bell to bell matters as much as it does, it's she's just always going to be a step or two behind.
Yeah, and I still think that it definitely got better with the devil on the shoulder stuff,
It
but
did.
in a lot of ways also there was still like why was at that point why was Charlotte there? You know, it's almost like they didn't pay any mind to her at all.
They haven't.
Two.
They really haven't. She is not a two, three dimensional or even two dimensional character beyond being his second slash wife.
Yeah, so I mean that's been another thing just about this whole situation where she's
But
not
without her, he's
that
less. But without her, he's less still at the same time.
oh yeah, for
Because we've
sure.
seen him walk, because we saw that era, that little, the short era where they brought him up, gave him that helmet, and she wasn't there with him.
Yeah, it definitely helps to have the hot wife. That does not hurt the presentation.
No, it.
And I do think that there are at least some of those people, defenders out there, that they're mistaking that. You know what I mean?
I mean, she's pretty much the. I mean, I don't know if they're doing something with Kiana James now, but Scarlett is pretty much the only woman left in all of wrestling who is just there to be a supportive figure slash manager to a male wrestler.
Yeah, it's even in the Triple H era here, you've usually got to be able to do at least both from time to time. Kind of thinking of B Fab still being around as one of those women that has definitely picked up the wrestling. And I mean, hell, we even talked about her. Maxine Dupri. It was kind of strange. Like, not that I thought that. I still think she was a little, might have been a little bit slow for the WWE competition. I remember seeing her do fairly well in matches in TNA. Like, it was always one of those surprises to me that they never really did anything with her. Like it like
She's
even tried, like it wasn't even like a hey, we're picking on you, we're gonna get you into the ring or anything like they've done with Maxine a couple of times. Like it was
yeah,
just
no.
like a non-starter the whole
They
time
did
they were around.
some stuff with her and other women throughout the years, but it's always in quick spurts. She's let's take a look and see how many actual matches she's had in the last 5 years.
It is going to be a low total, especially if we put the words televised in front of it.
Yeah, the last match she had was a mixed tag on the holiday tour in December of 2024. I mean, yeah, no, let's look, let's see, what her
Okay.
last, her la oh my God, her last televised match was on the June 16th, 2023 episode of SmackDown, a mixed tag teaming with Karrion Kross to defeat AJ Styles and Meechan.
That's wild to me, especially since we've talked about how the main roster until recently needed women's depth. And she was just sitting on the roster that whole time, twiddling her thumbs. And it
Since
does
20.
definitely does not seem to be a she doesn't get along with their locker room thing since she's
No.
at half of these locker room parties anyway.
No. Since 2020, she has had only 23 matches, a good deal of those happening at either NWE live events or during that brief period where she, where her and Cross were had been released.
Yeah, it's I mean, I'm with your overall point, which is I don't he's not really going to be missed.
No,
You
by whatever
know,
the
like
subset of fans is that care about him, I it's it, again, it just feels stupid to me. It really is just the dumbest thing wrestling fan. This is the dumbest cause wrestling fans have taken up since this era of the revolting fans and the taking over the show, whatever bullshit started with Daniel Bryan, or even maybe CM Punk, who knows? This is the dumbest grassroots fan campaign we've seen yet. It's just a celebration of mediocrity.
Yeah, like it's, and I mean, I even think when we were arguing about why R-Truth didn't get a renewed contract, it was definitely from he brings a comedy aspect that nobody else does and that you can't replace. You can replace Karrion Kross pretty easy.
Oh yeah. You know what? Y
Yeah.
you could give Aleister Black his devil on the shoulder gimmick.
Oh.
And it would probably be better. Not that I'm loving all of Black's return, but if you give him that, it would probably work better. And 'cause he at the end of the day, he is a better worker.
Yes. Yes, he is. Yeah. So that gets Karrion Kross out of the way. In the very unsurprising news here, I learned what Ashanti the Adonis's pre-WWE ring name was this weekend, because I had no idea. I saw Tahuti up on the Stunt Granny account there. And come to find out that his either shoot name or old ring name is Tahuti Miles. So, yep, Ashanti the Adonis, no longer with the WWE. This, I've got to admit, I'm not surprised. This one not getting even the level of fan support that Karrion Kross is.
No, his weird "I'm dating everyone on the NXT roster" thing was never really went anywhere. It didn't, it certainly didn't lead anywhere for that led to a match for him of any value. Yeah, it's maybe Hit Row could have been something, but obviously without Swerve, it
Oh,
wasn't going to. Yeah.
yeah, they were definitely missing the key piece.
Yeah.
They got back three quarters of Hit Row, and unfortunately the keystone to it all still over in AEW doing his thing. So yeah, was not surprised that Ashanti just struggled. Another guy that just he didn't really ever seem to set himself apart. Like, I never felt like he was a bad talker. I have no idea about his in-ring work, one way
I
or the
really
other.
couldn't, I really can't say I remember anything about it. Yeah.
So, you know, the dude was just an okay gimmick, and it's like, okay, you know, like, yep, that happens. I felt like there was some other smaller thing, but I don't really recall, and I don't care at this point, quite frankly. Any other news that you want to cover before we punch on out of here, sir?
Nope, punch away.
Belt time beer of the show from the brew kettle up in the land near Cleveland here. Mango Raja, their big main beer when they started brewing here was their White Raja. This one happens to have some additional mango flavor in it. It's a very good white IPA. Has a little extra sweetness to it compared to most other IPAs, so it cuts a little bit of that hop edge. So I've always liked the White Raja to start with, and the mango just adds to it. Kind of almost gives it more of a sour vibe, though there is no sour flavor to it. So should you find yourself up in Strongsville, Ohio, is where their original location is. Good food and good beer. So feel free to stop on in there. That is the suggestion from at DeFrango 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and download us at any other locations, whether it's iHeartRadio or YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.